congratulations. And in the coach's words, how did you do it?
Well, we just a real determined group, good goaltending, and some timely scoring, and getting to our game enough that it could affect the Penguins. They're a good team, obviously, with guys like Sidney Crosby and Malkin and Carter and Letang, and you go down the list there. Our plate was full with trying to defend and keep them in check. So a combination of good defense, goaltending, and some timely scoring.
So the one thing we keep hearing about the Islanders, we watch it when you play, is structure, structure, structure. And there's no doubt you play a very structured game. But in your mind, and I think of a player like Matt Barzal, how much freedom, specifically in the offensive zone, do you give the guys?
I give him a lot of freedom. I can't teach what he can do. And it's no different with those high-end guys like Alexander Ovechkin or Matthew Barzal. I just say to them, you know what, you do what you do with the puck because I can't teach you that part of the game. But when we don't have the puck, you have to be part of the solution to get it back so you have it more. So that's really the understanding. And to me, it's puck management and game management. And, you know, that you're not trying to do stuff when, you know, late in the game when you're up by a goal or it's a very important time, a momentum type of thing. So it's more about letting them play their game in the offensive zone, but play our game when you don't have the puck.
Barry, I'd love to dig in more on the technical stuff, but I just have to know, like, how Nassau Coliseum was. What was it like being back with the fans? Like, we're all living vicariously by the, you know, through the people who got to be there. Tell us about that experience for you.
For me, it was fantastic, and it was, as I said to the players, I mean, this is a moment. That Coliseum, I think they said it since 1993 is the last time that a team has clinched a series in that building. It was extra special because, A, we've been going so long with no fans in the building, and then we were up to 8,000 or 9,000, I think, last night. And it sounded like it was absolutely full, and they were loud. And it was a different energy. It is the feeling that you used to have that maybe we tend to forget about and we crave as a society and as athletes. But last night was special. It was special for everybody involved. I think it was an awakening, if you will, of hopefully us getting through this COVID and getting back to being normal, because it was highly emotional for the crowd and for the players.
Yeah, you know, Barry, I'm curious, picking up on that too, how much, you know, when you talk to your team, even, you know, before a game, in game, how much do you talk to them about things that aren't directly related to the game, and instead things like enjoy this moment, cherish a moment where we can remember what it's like to have fans in the building? How much do you talk to your team, you know, on game day about things that might not seem directly related to the game?
Quite a bit, because we talk as coaches, you know, the coaching's not always about X's and O's. It's about understanding the, you know, where you are, living in the moment a little bit. And, you know, I talked to the players, you know, last night about, you know, when you get older, and I've been in this league a long time, and I've gotten older, and I recognize it as I've aged, that, you know, when you're younger, you don't recognize moments. You're sort of oblivious to it. You think they're just going to come by all the time, and you keep moving on. And when you get older, you look back at the moments that you've missed, moments that you had. And yesterday was a moment, and I wanted to make them aware of a moment of that building having an opportunity to have the fans a chance to, as a group, close out a team in front of the home fans, which hasn't been done for a long time. But mm-hmm. Recognizing the moment, the special moment that you'll remember. And then after the game, I just said, this will be a moment that you will remember for the rest of your hockey career, because it had a special feeling to it because of the building, the magnitude of the game, and just the energy that was in the building. All that, and it was something you'll remember, and it was an absolute fun game to be a part of.
Barry, you haven't lost a first-round playoff series since 2010. You won two in Nashville, four in Washington, and now three with Long Island. I guess I want to know, do you change anything from the regular season to playoffs to adapt your team for a playoff-style game for whatever reason? You seem very good at getting your team prepared for the first-round battle and the type of hockey you have to play to win playoff series.
I'm probably way more relaxed in the playoffs than I am during the regular season, because I think you have to push and prod a lot more in the regular season to get more out of your guys. And, you know, we're not a team that, you know, there's some teams that are extremely highly skilled. They drop the puck, and during the regular season, you got a little bit more room, and you make plays and you win hockey games. And then it comes to the playoffs, and you know, there's no room, and the game sort of changes on you, and then you really struggle and you stress out about it. I think I felt like I've had to push and pull and prod a little bit more during the regular season than you do in the playoffs. I think everybody's dialed in the playoffs, and I actually enjoy the playoffs. I used to, as a young coach, I think I used to get wound up for playoff series, and that probably was a detriment to my the group that I was coaching, because if they saw me wound up, and they were probably a little tense. So I'm actually very relaxed in the playoff series. Maybe sometimes a little bit too relaxed, but I really try to stress about enjoying the moments or the playoffs, because you earn the right. It's so hard to get into the playoffs in the National Hockey League, and you earn the right to be there. So why not enjoy it? Don't be stressed out by it.
Did that all change for you after winning the Cup, or was that before you won the Cup with the Caps?
You know what? It actually changed. You know, we lost to the Penguins two straight years there, and I was really wound up, you know, because there's a lot of pressure, you know, when you're a President's Trophy team. You know, there's a lot more. There's a weight that goes with that, because everybody's expecting you to dominate teams in the playoffs, and you just can't. This league's too good. I was saying a few years back, the difference between a team that wins the President's Trophy and a team that is generally eighth place in your conference is one win a month, maybe. And that's, you think about that, that's not a lot, you know. And so, you know, during the regular season, if you have a deep, talented team or a skilled team, you win some of those games just purely on skill or whatever, power play, special teams. And it's harder to do that in the playoffs. So, you know, it all changed for me. I just, you know, when we lost those two series to Pittsburgh, I sort of reevaluated how, you know, there was a lot of things being said about that group. You know, a lot of things said about myself or Alex or Nick Backstrom or some of those guys. And I just realized that I wasn't going to be defined by any trophy. If I'm going to be defined as a person in this world because I have a trophy or don't have a trophy, then that's not what I want to be known for. I want to be known for being good at my craft and being a good person. And Alex was feeling, you know, I talked to Alex about that year too, is that, you know, he had changed the course of the game for so many people that wanted to be Alex Ovechkin. Him and Sid, I thought, saved the league when it, you know, out of the lockout, they brought excitement. And I just told him, you're not going to be, don't be defined by, you know, if you don't win a Stanley Cup. You have changed and had so much influence on so many people's lives. Don't be defined by that. And when I really started living by that a little bit more, I felt that I got more accomplished. So, and I think Alex did too. It was a real good conversation that we had, and I think we looked at it a little different. And when you look at it a little different, sometimes that's all you need.
There's some remarkably healthy life lessons in there beyond hockey, I would say,
no
for
kidding.
A lot of people. That's good stuff. the technical side or the structural side of play that, you know, everyone talks about with your New York Islanders has actually kind of taken confused the analytics community, because you guys still give up a lot of shots, but they're all from the perimeter, and your goaltenders do a great job stopping this, you know, making the saves they have to. Are we accurate, those of us looking in at your team and saying that that is a strategy of the Islanders, that you don't mind giving out pucks and that or shots, and that the goal is just to kind of push the play to the outside? Is that fair?
Well, I think it's fair. You know, the inside ice is the most dangerous ice. So I think if you can protect that, you know, we're playing the Boston Bruins. I'm watching some tape on them, you know, in between days, and also with you know, especially today, because we're putting sort of packages together. You know, Boston takes care of the inside ice, and you look at teams right now. You know, I haven't seen a lot of the Minnesota Vegas series, but I know when Minnesota is on their game, they're really doing a good job deflecting things to the outside, and shots. You know, shots are opportunities, but when they're predictable shots, especially with the goaltenders in this league now, that if they're on their game, then you make it predictable for them. They're going to be good for you, and that's what we try to do with our goaltenders: is make it as predictable as possible, and then have a foundation in place where, you know, there's a way to play, you know, to defend, and it sort of breaks down and you're tired and that, then you have to have a little bit of a security blanket, and that's where the system or your foundation comes in.
I want to ask you about one player specifically, although that someone like Matthew Barzal gets all the headlines, and for good reason. He's, as you point out, a really unique player. Anthony Beauvillier is special. 7 points in your series against the Pittsburgh Penguins. A lot of highlight reel stuff as well. What does Beauvillier do that people should be aware of?
Well, he's got really explosive speed. I mean, him and Matthew they've got another gear. And because of that, he puts pressure on the on opponents. It's not necessarily always big physical pressure like you would see from a Cizikas, Clutterbuck, Martin line, but it is pressure, speed pressure that he gets on people, gets them to, you know, move the puck a little quicker, or gets a stick in there and breaks up a play, and then he's got enough offensive instincts to make something out of that, and he's got a really good skill set. So, and you know, with that Brock Nelson line, you know, there's three pretty good components. Brock's a really good two-way centerman with really good hands, and Josh Bailey is a quietly very very smart hockey player with a lot of deception in his game, and then you got Bo, who is he's got burner speed on that line, so they sort of fit, you know, the combination of those three parts, the sum is pretty good for our hockey team.
This Islanders team of yours is, you know, a mature group, and, you know, we mentioned that they tend to play positionally. Have you, over the years, changed how you've asked your team to play based on your roster, or do you just believe there's the best way to play and you kind of ask that roster to play a particular system?
No, I always look at our personnel first.
Yeah.
And decide what system will fit that group. I've played in this league. I've played a 2-1-2 full pressure. I've played a left wing lock. I played a 2-3. I played a 1-1-3 and a 1-1-2. You know, the one I haven't played is a 1-3-1. I haven't coached the team that I've gone to a 1-3-1.
That's wild.
But we've done all of that. And I always look at personnel. What's your strength? I try to look at what's our strength. And you know, we've changed our D zone from our first year here to what we do now. I've changed, our neutral zone from what we came in with. And so we keep adjusting based on personnel and based on what our team can absorb, because every team's at different stages in their evolution.